Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie. Guess who I'm with? His name is Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How are you, sweet man?
I'm really excited and thrilled. I'm feeling all the emotions today.
Well, it's your favorite day. It's the day that tickets go on sale. Okay.
I know.
Tickets went on sale today. Ben is like a little boy at Christmas. He doesn't celebrate Christmas, so he doesn't know that feeling, but he does because he's like one right now. Okay. Today, our live tour, could you imagine? Our recorded tour goes on sale
today. We just put up a VCR TV combo on stage.
Yeah. Our live show schedule was announced today. Find it at watchwhatcrappens.com. We're going to a lot of places. Going to be super fun. Tickets are on sale now. Okay. Actually, if you're listening to this on Thursday, January 5th, you'll need the pre-sale code Crappens 2023. Okay. But tomorrow, Friday, they're on sale for everybody. And the Golden Crappies are going to be part of that tour. Okay. They're in February this year. They are in Los Angeles at the Wiltern Theater. Can't believe they're letting us into that place, but they are suckers. Crazy. So we're doing that. We're going to have a lot of really big, fun guests for that. So please come join us. Ben, do you want to go over every city or do you just want to get on with the show?
No, I think this week we should go over all the cities that way. Cause people may not have listened to Southern Hospitality or something like that, because everyone listens to different shows. So I think should go over all the cities. And while you pull that up, I will say I went, you know, because by the way, I determine my self-worth based on how many tickets we sell. So that's why I'm like a kid on Christmas, because I'm like, they like us. But first of all, kind of amazing. I looked at some of the ticket maps that are just like on Ticketmaster or whatever. And like, a bunch of tickets have already been sold. So, you know, it's really, really exciting. So definitely buy your ticket because I wouldn't want anyone to miss out on anything.
Yeah, come. Okay. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to go through a list of the cities. I'll make it quick. Austin, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Los Angeles, Charlotte. Los Angeles is the crappies, obviously. Charlotte, Atlanta, Denver, Salt Lake City, Seattle, San Francisco, Toronto, Philly, New York, and Washington, D.C. Go get your tickets, watchwhatcrappens.com. You'll also find links to merch. You'll find links to our Patreon. That is where you get our bonus episodes. This week, we're going to talk about Christmas, New Year's, and all that. All the hijinks that went on. And also, that's where you get these Crappens On Demand videos. Hi, we're on video right now. Today is a Crappens On Demand video, and my face looks insane because we normally don't record on Thursdays. Our schedule changed for the new year, and I had scheduled a microneedling appointment. Okay, have you ever had that done, Ben?
I thought microneedling was your brows.
No, that's microblading.
Oh,
obviously, I
microneedling.
Done that. I still have my old guy Lebanese brows, but I got microneedled. Okay. That's where they put little needles and they stab your face with. They had to numb my face. I didn't know they were going to. I went in there. They said, we have to numb your face. I said, what the fuck are you going to do to me? Am I going to cry? And she said, oh, no. That's Texas for you. She's like, I don't know. I guess we'll see. So they numb your face and then they stab the fuck out of you for 30 minutes. And they don't tell you you're going to look like this. I look like Freddy Krueger. And then I was like, hey, can I get some vitamin B2? And so she shot me up with some vitamin B. And then I was like, hey, could you like maybe laser something off for me? And she goes, I can plasma gun it. And I said, plasma gun it. Do it. And then I said, how much Botox you got in here? She said, a truckload. I said, do it. Do me up. So I just feel like I just got back from the auto shop.
Wow.
I got new everything.
You're all buffed and waxed and detailed and ready to go. Well, you know what? I think that when we go to Salt Lake City, we definitely should drop by Beauty Lab and Laser and get some procedures done.
Hell yes. She said, what do you want to look like? Like, what's your goal? And I said, I want to look like a bowling ball. I want someone to try to put their fingers through my eyes so they can bowl with me. You know, I want to be perfectly smooth.
Well, I think that especially, you know, what's it going to take, like 1 or 2 days for like any like redness to sort of go away? Because you don't look that red, to be honest.
I've got really bright lights on in here, but I look crazy.
It just looked like you're in the sun.
Look, it looks like I got bruised. It's a storyline for Salt Lake City. I'm like, I won't tell you I got this bruise on my cheek. Was it Jim Shaw?
Well, what, two judgy girls was, I think, I feel like I saw two judgy girls fleetingly on Instagram put forth a theory that Heather's black eye actually came from like a botched procedure at Beauty Lab. I don't know if that's true, but I feel like that's actually, that would be like the theory that makes the most sense, because she would not want to make her business look bad, and she's not going to pin that on another lady, so she'll just...
Yeah, but her whole, like, be careful not to open the door in the middle of the night. And we all know what happened, but no one's going to talk about it. I mean, she's... You know, Heather's really pissed a lot of people off. Everyone has turned on Heather. And this, you know, I feel bad because, you know, we like Heather Gay. Like, who doesn't like Heather Gay? Well, everybody right now. But before this season, everybody likes Heather Gay, you know? But, man, it's the season I love of the year in Housewife seasons, where people turn. You know, there's that season, like the second season is the season that the bitch flower blooms, right?
Right.
But there's always that season where people turn on the favorites, you know? And that's kind of fun to watch too. As horrible as that is to say.
It's this black eye really is turning into a black eye on her reputation, because I think it's just people feel like, people don't like being lied to. The audience does not like being lied to. You can lie to your co-stars and do whatever you want, but lie to the audience. And I think a lot of people in the audience feel very lied to. And people are like really, really, really upset. They're like, we're still not going to find out about the black eye.
Yeah. It's like Lost, you know, it's like a mystery that they're like, well, you're going to find out everything by the end. No, you're not. That's where they fuck you. And people are still mad at Lost. Like, they'll still make comments. Like, if you say Lost, they're like, fuck that show. You know, they still hate that show.
So a smoke monster gave her the black eye. That's what you're trying to say.
Yes. I was going to say about lying. You know, people don't like being lied to. Now, here's what an audience, a Bravo audience especially, loves. We'd love it if you lie to yourself, but don't lie to us. I love some delusion. You know what I mean? I love a Kyle Richards and like a negative size dress that she's never gonna, not because she's big, just because she wants you to think she's in this size dress. You know, I like that.
Right.
Like, that's why I wear pants that are too small for me. I like delusion. I think it feels great. I love to see that on TV, but not about stuff like this. It's very bad, Heather. Very bad.
Exactly. And now is another good time just to remind people again, Heather did not fall off a boat. That's not something that happened.
That's
a video I made. Ronnie just sent me something, yesterday, 2 days ago, of someone saying, I was watching Below Deck and I saw Heather Gay fall off a boat. And then someone said, no, that's a video that Watcher Crappens made. And she goes, well, then how did they splice it into the show? And
I'm like, she said, then how did I see the clip on Below Deck Adventure then? How did I see it? It's like you can't explain, you know, because your brain puts stuff together.
Your brain has your
Like, I'm the queen of delusion. I get it. You know, I know how the brain works. I'm the worst witness ever. I will always swear that I saw something that I didn't, but I'll really believe it. I'm crazy. Okay, so in some other news, Jen Shaw is being sentenced tomorrow. Now, I don't know how this went from when all this was announced, like she pled guilty and all of this. All of the stuff that was released made it sound like she was going to get between. She said that she wouldn't contest anything over 14 years, I believe. But now everybody's thinking 10, which means you know it's going to be like 5. So what do you think it's going to be? Let's take bets.
Oh, man. Wow. This is like that show with it's like what's behind like door number one. Where it's like Price is Right. Okay? It's like Lost. This is like if Lost were on Price is Right. Okay, the smoke monster. How much do you bid for the smoke monster? I'm really bad at estimating. I think it's just you can get to like 2 years. That's what I'm going to say.
Oh, girl. I hope that everybody in that courthouse is listening to the Bravo docket right now. And if you're not listening to it, audience, go listen to it. Ceci and Angela, they're great. It's a podcast. Go listen to it. They break this down. They have 3 episodes out now. Actually, maybe it's only 2 now, but there's 3 total. This woman is a monster, and I knew she was a monster. We all know she's a monster. She's horrible. She is way worse than anybody ever thought she was. She knew that they were investigating her, and she still was like opening secret bank accounts and hiding shit. And I mean, she didn't give a fuck. So if anybody has any pity for her, go listen to this podcast. It will erase it. I'm going to guess 7 years.
Seven's a good one. Yeah, it could be seven. I don't know. I wasn't following it as closely as you. I just know that, if she were like an old white man, it would probably be 2 years. But yeah, it'll probably be 7 years for her.
Don't try and bring up the injustice right now when we're talking about Jen Shah. I'm aware that that injustice exists in this world.
No, I'm just saying.
And I'm not like using it for her. No way, ma'am. No way. I've listened to that Bravo doc, and I know what you did, ma'am. By the way, I'm cracked out because I read some bro on Twitter talking about matcha tea and blueberries. So that's what I'm drinking right now.
You don't hate blueberries.
The other thing, this is not a news show, but there's a lot of
stuff. I know. I love it. I love it. This is the vibe. This is the vibe for today. Listen, Jen's only got potentially one good day left of freedom. So yeah. Let's revel in it, you know?
Yeah, let's enjoy it. So, breaking news in the Jen Shah case. This is also from Bravo Docket, but it was on TMZ a lot of places. So, I'm not going to read the thing. I'll just sum it up and probably get it all wrong. So, yesterday or a couple of days ago, the government is like, wait a minute, court. We have something else. Somebody else has come forward.
They were talking to Cameron Westcott's husband. I'm confused.
They're like, listen here, little man. Listen here, thumb with a Republican haircut. Listen here. Someone else has come forward. So apparently, Jen Shah, allegedly, okay, this is what they're reporting, not me, don't sue me. Allegedly, Jen Shah was having an affair with some dude who lived in Vegas, and his wife found out, and took screenshots of the texts that they were sending each other and sent those texts to Sharif. Okay. So then Jen Shah got so pissed off. She kept calling this lady and calling this lady. The lady's like, I ain't talking to that crazy whack. So she let it go. So Jen Shah gets in her car and drives to Vegas and knocks on her door at 2:30 in the morning and starts telling her off and doing all this stuff. And it was so bad, she called the police, and then she got a restraining order against Jen Shah. So they're trying to introduce that at the last moment to affect Jen's sentencing. So who knows? But I'll tell you, there's never a dull moment with that Jen Shah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like her days on Bravo are over, though. I mean, she's not at the reunion. She wasn't invited to BravoCon. So this is it. This is the last flickers of the Jen Shah candle before it goes up in smoke.
Nope. It's not the last flickers. No, hell no. Jen Shah is going to go on the run or some shit. She's not going to just go down and be boring, okay? They're going to sentence her tomorrow, and then she's going to, like, Carmen Sandiego this shit. And they're going to have board games for the rest of our lives for all of our children to play. Like, where in the world is Jen Shah's ass? Where is she?
Yeah, Jen Shah would actually, like, the way to capture Jen Shah is have her play her own game, because she would go into, like, a paradox, because she'd be like, where in the world is Jen Shah? Well, what about me? Where in the world am I? Wait a second. I am Jen Shah. It's not working.
Ah! Yeah, she would never hide. All you would have to do is, like, turn on a flashlight, and she'd see a spotlight and just jump right out. It's me. I'm here. What about what I'm going through?
I would love a video game called Where in the World is Jen Shah. Like, I would play that game all day long, and just it would be just like the very like dull version of Carmen Sandiego. Like Carmen Sandiego, it's like, ooh, you just tracked her down to Sofia Bulgaria, and then you see like little footprints in the safe falls. But with Jen Shah, it's like, all right, you can go to the old Circuit City, or you can visit a Valvoline, and you might find a clue there.
I feel like I would always win that game because I would always choose Canal Street. Because, you know, she's just always down there buying fake shit. Always. Her fake Gucci's and all that.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm excited. We're going on Kay Casey's podcast, and we're recording it on January 6th, the sentencing day. So maybe we'll have some, like, maybe the sentencing will come in live as we're talking with
maybe.
Kate.
You never know. One never knows. Do one. Okay, let's get on with this. The title is Unfashionably Something, but it had a dot, 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 so I didn't click it.
Unfashionably dot, dot, dot. Well, I mean, that says so much about this show.
It really does.
Most of the Real Housewives shows, to be honest.
Especially this one, though. This one has the feathers.
This is the feather show.
Yeah, this is the feather show.
There's a word for people who design clothing made out of feathers. And this show is keeping those people alive.
Feathers or whatever.
Feathers. Okay,
so let's go on with the show, everybody. 20 minutes into it. Here we are. Welcome to Watch What Crappens. So we are with Whitney and Heather. Wait.
Yeah, because we're still at the dinner party. We're still in San Diego, and they're still at dinner late at night. And Heather is still being coy about her black eyes. So Whitney is trying to do – basically, Whitney's trying to be like Mariah Carey and Precious right now. She's trying to be like a really
What?
She's trying to be like a very concerned social worker. She's like, Heather, how did you get a black eye?
Well, Heather better start answering or I'm going to turn into Monique from Precious and throw a damn TV at her down the stairs. Okay.
So Heather's like, I have a black eye? I mean, I thought I had covered up with makeup. Jen, you said I looked fine. You said no one's going to notice.
And she's like, okay, because everyone's looking at her like, this is no longer hilarious, Heather. Like, you have a giant black eye, right? So she's like, listen, I woke up with this horrible black eye and, you know, and scratches all over my body. But, and then she looks right at Jen, who's sitting next to her and stares at her. She goes, but we're still unsure about what happened to my eye.
Yeah. And it's like, it looks like she's looking for Jen to jump in and start like providing a cover story or whatever. But Jen's just like sitting. Jen's just not taking the bait whatsoever.
Or admit it, right? I'm taking it that she's trying to get Jen to say, I did it, it was an accident, whatever, because Heather keeps saying, let's see if anybody else wants to talk about it, and then looking at Jen, you know?
Right. Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, it's hard to know. It's the mystery of our times.
Either way, the Bravo editors know what they think, and here's what they think. So Heather's like, well, there are theories. And Whitney tells us, I'm trying to figure out what Heather is trying to say without actually saying it. So far, I have charcuterie, zebra, jizz, jazz, dot, dot, dot.
Outer darkness. So Heather turns to Jen again and is like, so what would you say, CSI? And Jen basically is like, I don't know. So Whitney's like, she keeps looking to Jen, which makes me feel like Jen, in fact, had something to do with the black eye. I mean, do you feel like she fell into something? And Heather's like, well, we reenacted like six or seven different falls to see if like maybe that's how it happened. And then Meredith goes, wow, that's a battery. It's a battery. She was hit by a battery. No, Whitney. Salt and battery. Someone poured salt on her head and hit her with a battery. Okay, Whitney, that's enough.
I hope it wasn't one of those ones that you have to plug in. I always get those batteries wrong. So Heather's, Heather reenacting the fall. Okay, Dexter, like this, what the fuck are you talking about? You went and stood in front of the door and reacted some fall with those sticks, those Hobby Lobby sticks by that door in the hotel room. So then she says, I don't want to talk about it. And Dana's like, okay, let's talk about, hey, Jen, I think we had a really good day today, Jen. And Jen's like, girl, I let you drive me. I put my life in your hands, okay? I would say that's a good day. And Dana's like, yeah, but I want to come to an understanding because this trip has been a little awkward and we haven't been able to open up. So I wanted to, like, talk to you about that because, like, I just want to be real with you, Jen. These new housewives and their community theater. Listen, I love a community theater. I've done a ton of it. I know that that shocks all of you out there, but I've done a ton of it. You still need a good director to do that. Someone show Dana how to start a fight. Somebody.
Yeah. Well, you know, by the way, something I'm confused about is that in the trailers, there was definitely, unless I'm misremembering now, there was definitely a moment where Dana, like, basically snaps back hard at Jen Shah. She's like, I'll be the, like, she sort of comes at her about going to jail. And we haven't seen it yet, and we did not see it on the previews for next week, and next week is the season finale. So I've been waiting really all season for that side of Dana to come out, and I thought, okay, well, maybe it's going to come out here, but no, it's just like, I just want to be real with you, as real as I possibly can be with you. And Jen's like, who? She goes, well, it's just, it's someone that I really trust that I've known for a long time. And supposedly they like know someone that worked for you and they said your company or work you do is like very sketchy. I'm like, Dana, this is not new news. She's literally going to jail for it.
I know. Dana's bringing it up like this is the first time anybody's ever heard of it. So Jim's like, who then? And she goes, yeah. And they like pleaded or whatever, guilty, the allegations. But now they're an informant and they told me be very careful. And Jim's like, hang on, let's be specific and careful about this. If you want to bring it up, then bring it to the finish line. And she's like, I cannot do that, Jim. It's like, then you shouldn't talk about it. You know, Jen starts having a fit, which I agree with. Like, if you're going to bring this stuff up, I mean, I don't think she should. She needs to give more because this is all just, this has already been introduced to the court. So I need new witnesses. I need new testimony. I don't care. Get some tape and make a new tape outline of somebody on the ground. I need something new to look at or hear here, Dana.
Yeah. You know what? If Dana. I were Dana, I just would have said, you know what? My walls are up because honestly, I've seen the way you act and you're a crazy person. And also, I know you were arrested by Homeland Security and I know that doesn't just happen by accident. So honestly, I'm a little bit on guard. And she goes, well, what about like innocent before proven guilty? I'd be like, well, I'm not a court of law. I'm a person. And honestly, I'm judgmental. So guilty before innocent. Sorry.
Yeah, that whole guilty, that innocent before being proven guilty is only in court. Not dinner.
Okay. Not dinner. Not dinner.
At dinner, I get to judge your ass. Yeah. So Heather's just shaking her head. Guilty until proven
guilty.
Heather's just shaking her head, you know, because she's so mad that Dana is doing this. And Jen's like, what you're talking about is my life. And Dana's like, yeah, but I know, like, what I want to say is like how I felt coming into this. Like, she still can't start. So Jen's just like, okay, I'll scream at her anyway. And she's like, bitch, I rode with you today.
Like, that was like such an important thing that they shared a go-kart experience in the streets of San Diego. She goes, check your source then. Okay, check your source. Because the Constitution says you're innocent until proven guilty. Period. End of story. And you know what else the Constitution says? Start a website for low dollars. Okay, because you'll need it when you're older.
By the way, the Constitution doesn't say either one of those things.
No.
In case anyone cares. So there's a really long pause because she does a period. End of story. Which for some reason, people really listen to that. They're like, oh, hold on. Let's just take a period. The story is ended.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, who am I to fight with the laws of grammar? I mean, it's the end of a sentence. It's the end of the sentence. I mean, oh, you know, it's not a comma. It was a period. It was very explicit about what happens next. I'm going to drink my coffee like it's a cocky and I'm Marisol. But doing, what's her face? Meredith voice.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin's come.
Amazon Pickup is a convenient and secure way to collect your Amazon parcels from locations near you. Help keep gifts a surprise when you choose to pick up from an Amazon locker or counter. Parcels can be picked up on your schedule, and you can rest assured knowing that your packages are kept safe and secure. Plus, there's no additional cost to use an Amazon locker or counter. Find a convenient pickup point near your home, work, or the places you already visit. Amazon Pickup is the worry-free option for the times when home delivery isn't ideal. To find your nearest pickup location or to learn more, go to amazon.co.uk/wondery. That's amazon.co.uk/WONDERY.
So Jen does the Jen walk-off because Jen's so thirsty, she never really walks off, right? She just gets up and then walks 2 feet away. So she's like still in the camera's view. And she's like, you're saying some bullshit with no backup. And she tells us, this is very serious to me. Dana, I don't know you. And apparently you don't know your source. And so Heather gets up. So they walk off together officially. And Dana's like, yeah, you guys see this shit going on with Jen and you don't even say anything. And Angie's like, I said something, Dana. I said something. You see where it's gotten me. You see where it's gotten me, Dana. You see. Everyone sees.
Yeah, we saw where it got you. Almost standing up to Jen and realizing that you're in a toxic friendship and then caving in again. So we do see that. So yeah. Whitney's like, this is the dance we do and it's hard. Like, Macarena. That's hard. Where did the hands go?
And she goes, yeah, with Jen, you're always running the risk of coming at you and like freaking out on you. And then it cuts to, I will drown you, bitch! Because I'm like, just threatening to murder everybody. And it cuts back to Whitney, and she's like, it's very obviously the number one trigger is her case. Because it's a delicate balance between asking her about it and ticking her off.
And then Meredith goes, well, Angie, thank you. I think I'm kind of done. It's kind of been enough for me. I'll be honest. I'm going to just sort of say this in a way that's going to allude to some deeper thoughts I'm having, but no one's really going to understand what they are, because what the hell, what deep thoughts do I have in this moment anyway? Okay, I'll tell the audience. I mean, listen, I think we know these things. I think we know a few things from informants, but if I'm a guest on somebody's trip, the last thing I'm going to do is talk about the things that threaten their freedom. This is not like she's having an affair. This is, you're going to prison for decades. Oh, not a laugh. Not a laugh moment.
I'm very angry. As you can see, I'm getting up and trying to get water out of my ear. So, I'm very upset about that. So, these people are, they're all nuts on this show. Like, right now we see how nuts Jen is, but why are Heather and Meredith mad at Dana for bringing this shit up and then running to stand by Jen? They have not heard the Bravo docket yet. I'll tell you that.
No.
So Jen is in the bathroom crying. She's like, you're going to bring things that I'm going through with me and my family? My family? Which she uses as a shield every single time. And Heather's like, yeah, well, how long have you even known Dana? And she's like, I don't even know the bitch. All I know is she's got gray hair and I gave her a box of color.
And then we see a flashback to Jen giving Dana a box of, like, Clairol, being so like, hey, rude. This is like a sisterly moment.
Yeah, how is that a sisterly moment? That is so fucking rude. That's like you being like, Ronnie, happy birthday. Can I talk to you for a second? Got you a wig. Okay. Got you. Who does that?
I guess I'll put this away right here. So Dana is like, well, guess what? The person that told me that, said that she knew exactly what they were doing when these allegations were happening. And this is like real ass shit. Like, no motherfucking FBI is going to come down hard on that. Like, okay. And like, your partner is not going to testify against you. And there's like multiple people who pleaded guilty. She keeps saying pleaded. I don't feel like that's the right. I think it's pleaded. Pled? I don't know. And no one's going to go as hard as if she's innocent. I'm not saying she's guilty, but there has to be something. I'm like, well, Dana, why didn't you say this when Jen was at the table? At the table, she's all like, I just want to show why my walls are up. And then when Jen is gone, she's like, and another thing, she's fucking guilty. Look at her face. She's got a guilty face, okay?
Because she's terrified. She tried to do it, but then Jen started screaming and scared her. Also, Dana has some interesting words, like pretty consistently. And I'm starting to like to, I'm like, listen to me talking. I'm the one with the craziest fucking words. I like adding them all up. So Whitney's like, what if she's proven guilty? What? Then, and Lisa's like, I can't let myself go there because I have to think she's innocent until she's proven guilty.
Why? Why do you have to do that? So Angie's like, Lisa, I am right there with you on this. And Whitney's like, my answer is that if she is proven guilty, I will have to just sit across from her with an awkward conversation, but I'm willing to have a conjugal visit with her. And they're like, not conjugal. It's just a visit.
And everyone just assumes that she didn't mean that, but it's Whitney. You know what I mean?
She's first person to bring a stripper pole to the jail.
I baked something secret into your cake.
It's a cupcake with out. It's like, this is the sound of Whitney visiting Jenna jail. It's the sound of her ankles thwacking the plexiglass as she spins around on her pole.
And then the editors give us my favorite. But this is like a dumbass. So Dan is like, it's not a conjugal visit, and I'm the one who just said pleaded. So at least it's like, yeah, unless you hook up with her. And Whitney's like, well. So then we go to the bathroom with Heather, Meredith, and Jen, and Heather's like, listen, all you have to do to shut these girls up is be like, hey, let's talk about Heather, how Heather really got the black eye. And then they're going to be zip. Yeah. Like, so you're just openly admitting that you're making up some bullshit to keep the focus off of fighting with you. You're, come on now, Heath.
Yeah, it's like a straight Heath. But it's also like a strange, it's just like a weird, a strange low-level Machiavellian scheme. And it's weird that we're just like watching it, you know, watching their plotting. So then Meredith is like,
Jen goes, let's do that. Let's do that. She's like, yeah, let's do
that. And Meredith's like, wait, what? Huh? What? And Heather goes, yeah, because you know what? At the end, you say that at the end because that'll put the fear of God in them. So just say, keep pushing me, and I'll tell you exactly how the black eye happened, and someone will panic. Snitches get stitches. I'm like, what are you saying? Are you, sorry, are you, is she implying that Jen should also imply that she's the one who gave the black eye, and that if people keep coming for her, she's going to give out more black eyes? Because that's not really going to help in the whole I'm innocent vibe.
Is that how you took it? Okay.
Same. No, just now when I read it right now. When I read it right now,
well,
this
like
is an on-the-fly. It's an on-the-fly theory that I came up with as I looked at my notes. If she says,
say, keep it up, and I'll say exactly how the black eye happened. Someone will panic. What does that mean?
I don't know what
it means. She means that it's like an Agatha Christie thing. Like, the killer is in this room, and I'm going to prove it.
It's like, well, it's like, keep pushing me, and I'll tell you exactly how the black eye happened. Wouldn't that be... Oh, I guess maybe it's not that. I was saying it was like, that would be... Cause she's telling Jen to say that, so that would be Jen suggesting violence. Like, you want to push me? You want to find out how that black eye happened?
I gave her this black eye. You want one? You want more where that came from?
Right, but then the someone will panic doesn't really make a lot of sense either. So,
well, here's the thing. I can't concentrate because Heather is the kind of person now that does things like this. You know what? Snitches get stitches. And then she starts like holding an ass and spanking the ass in the air. You know, she's like, yeah, snitches get stitches. How do those two things even go together? Why are you spanking the
it's
butt?
It's all chaotic. She's just leaning into chaos. So you can't really find out what's going on. It's that's a tactic. She's just trying to help Jen by making people confused. You know, she's just breeding confusion.
Well, it works because Meredith is like, I am so confused at this point. I wish he would just say who hit her. At this point, it's just unsettling.
So then back at the table, Lisa's like, everyone comes back to the table. And so Lisa's like, so when you left this conversation, we had, and we said, we believe Jen. And I said, until somebody proves her innocent, you still have to believe that she's innocent. I mean, someone tells someone believes that she's not innocent, you have to believe she's innocent. And then I said, 2-for-1 chalupas at Taco Bell. There's still time if we get in the car right now.
And Jen's like, yeah, because otherwise, why are you even at this table? And Lisa's like, yeah. I was like, you just need to get to know Jen. I promise, Jen's amazing. And Jen's totally innocent. And Jen, stop kissing Jen's ass. This is making me crazy. It's the penultimate episode of the season, and you guys are still up Jen's ass. What does she have on you people? So Dana's like, well, I just want to be honest with you. That's why I had my walls up. I had my walls up on this trip. This ain't The Bachelor. You're watching the wrong show, ma'am. No one cares about your walls.
Yeah, I feel like it's strange to talk about your walls being up when really, like, all you've done is gone around in a go-kart. Like, no one's been trying to get to the emotional crux of what's going on with Dana. And then Dana tells us, no matter what they say about Jen, how much they trust her, how much they defend her, she is a very untrustworthy person. I'm like, well, again,
we know,
like,
we pay for cable. You know what I mean?
She's on Bravo. Okay. She's on Bravo. So then it's like, it's 4 a.m. actually. They're still sitting at the table until 4 a.m. So they decide that they're going to like wrap it up because Lisa has to get her get to a plane. So then Heather's like, well, I guess I'm going to go. How do they say it in Greece? Opa, opa. They're like, yeah, whatever. That'll work.
Yeah. So Heather's like, want to wear my eye patch, Lisa? Want to wear it? And she's like, this is my new Tinder profile pic. So then, Matt, did you just say all that?
No, I didn't.
I was fixing my straw. Sorry. Yeah. So now we're back in Utah. And Whitney, we're at Whitney's house. We're in Whitney's row house. And she's like, dong, dong. She's like meditating. And then Lisa is fishing with John, which I could watch for a year. every night.
Hi, Trout. Hi, Guppy. Hi, oh God, Pebbles.
Rainbow Trout, I love your parades.
Hi. Can I touch? Can I touch your scales? Can I touch?
And then we get Crazy Haas.
Yeah, Oliver.
And
that was the music of the composer left his synthesizer out and his cat walked along the keyboards. That's what that was.
Yeah, and they're like, keep it. Print.
Keep it. We love that.
And it's the most energetic, craziest music to lead us into a scene with the least charismatic people ever to be on television, Brooks and Chloe. Okay. Brooks is like, okay, I need to go through the looks. And Chloe's like, do you need me to try them on? And he's like, potentially.
And then Meredith comes and she goes, hi, guys. And they both look at her and go, hi. So, are you guys excited about tonight? Yeah, can't you see? It's all over my face right now, Mom.
So, Mom, you speaking, you presenting, all of the above. Oh, I'm glad we're all wearing really stupid glasses right now, though. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, so tonight is because they all have like different variations, like Hunter S. Thompson. So,
are you excited for the mental health event? Yeah, sounds great, Mom.
Can't wait. So,
pack the glow sticks. Let's do this.
Well, I did pack several to-go containers of my famous white bean salad. I made it with Myra, my sister. I'm excited. The whole family's going to get together, which means we'll finally be able to slice a lemon again. Takes a lot of people.
Tonight is a presentation for my sister's new foundation. And then we see a clip of her sister shaking her head, you know, like her sister as played by Sherry O'Terry. It's like Sherry O'Terry playing Meredith comes on the screen. She's like, I'm so glad we're cutting a lemon together before the mental health party, Mayor. She's like, I'm glad we're going to finally have a slice for our water.
Now all of the water is going to be delicious. I couldn't agree more, sister. No, I couldn't agree more, sister. Wow. Sisters doing it for themselves.
I think that Meredith's mom probably was driving on a very bumpy road when she was pregnant with these two. Because they're still just their whole life. They're just like, wow. Bumping their heads. Well, let me tell you what I feel about mental health. Well, I'll tell you what I feel about mental health. It's important. I think it's important too, Mar.
Next season, we find out that Meredith is actually the granddaughter of Katharine Hepburn. So now it's a mental health. And wait, why is that offensive? You're shaking your head. You're like, how dare you? How dare you bring Katharine Hepburn into this?
Because she had a disease or something. That's why I heard.
She did?
Yeah, she had something. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought that was just Katharine Hepburn's. I thought that was just her vibe.
No, but it's very hypocritical of me to give you that look because I've made like 5 on Golden Pond references this year. So
I don't like, you know what? Today it's going to happen. I'm going to make a Katharine Hepburn reference. You're like, Ben, too soon.
Inappropriate.
Fine. Let me just change. Okay, I'm going to change it up with a different pop culture reference. We're going to find out that they're the granddaughters of Lisa Gibbons. Doesn't make any sense, but I actually like the narrative.
Me too. Oh, Lisa. God, there's not a day goes by that I don't say, God, what's Lisa doing right now?
Lisa with a Z.
Yeah. You know Liza was pissed at that. Really? Lisa? There's another one with a shake.
Oh, yeah.
She's like throwing a vodka bottle at
Lisa. Now, that's Gibbons. What I could get behind. Liza Minnelli as the grand matriarch. Like, that actually makes sense. Hi, kids. Hi.
Hi, kids. A slot with a C, not single with an I, not single with an A, not Lisa with a Z, bitch.
You gotta ring them sweatsuits.
Oh, God. Okay, I don't know why I wrote this, but I wrote, it's a Meatball Health Foundation to help people find meatball. The proper fit.
I think that's a typo on mental, but that's fine. Know,
but it's not a good...
Love the idea of Meatball Health.
Guys, I finally come up with it. I'm starting a Meatball Health Foundation.
It'll have an IV bag full of marinara. I would love to see Meatball ER. No. Featuring Kyle Richards. Guys, I'm so excited. I just landed a role on Meatball ER. I play a nurse on a few episodes.
Well, if you need any advice, I play the role of designer at Buca de People.
Code Red Sauce. Code Red Sauce. Meatball coming in right now.
George Clooney, I could eat you with a spoon. I think I will. So then Brooks is like, I'm really stressed. Like, people prepare years in advance for this, and I'm doing it in under, 48 hours. Meredith's like, I don't think people prepare years in advance, Roxy, but maybe. Brooks, how long have you been at school? It has been over a year since you released one goddamn sweatsuit, and you're going to tell me you've done nothing since then? Nothing? You've done nothing since then? I know you did your mom's blazer bathing suit that she got into the hot tub in earlier this year, because that screamed Brooks.
Right. But I like Chloe saying, you think this is like Paris Fashion Week? It's like a Utah museum event. Yeah, I like Brooks trying to make it seem like he's in Project Runway. Be like, normally people spend months doing this and I only have a day and a half. It's like, we're not feeling the stress. So, Brooks goes, yeah, no one in this family understands the stress of running a business while finishing college. And Meredith goes, huh, really? Because I didn't.
And Chloe goes, oh, snap.
Well, kids, seems like there's a lot of good times being had in this kitchen. So who wants some white bean salad, am I right?
Oh, wait. Here's a text from Whitney. Hey, Mara, won't be able to make it because we had a rescheduled Bobby's birthday party, but we're making a very nice donation of an unemployment check signed on the back from Justin for Meatball Health. Well, that's very kind.
Oh, this must be it here. Look at this one. Let me open up this envelope. Oh, wow. It seems like it's a donation in... chocolate syrup. Okay, well, we'll just put that over here.
Oh, this next open. No comma Terry. Signed Whitney, but her name is spelled wrong. Interesting.
The donation is yelling at me. Apparently, it's been kidnapped by someone named Terry and saying no Terry.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Whitney was on Watch What Happens last night with Julia Fox, so I had to watch. Because, I mean, Julia Fox and Whitney together? Like, what the fuck? So
the booking on that show is hilarious at all times.
I was like, what? I mean, I was wearing false eyelashes when it started, and they were gone by the time it was over. It was just like a vortex sucking everything out of you watching that show. So, really interesting. But Whitney, one of the questions they gave her was, so Whitney, how come you can't pronounce hilling and rill? Isn't that funny? And she's like, well, it's because of my Mormon ancestors from Utah. Like, the pioneer people came to a mountain town, and that's where I lived. And that's how they pronounced it. It's like, oh, okay. Okay. Blame the Oregon Trail or whatever the shit. Okay, Whitney.
Julia Fox was like, I was just about to use that answer for my next question.
Julia Fox is a wackadoo. She was pretty funny, though. She's a nutcase, but I was like, why? Who is this? Why? What has she done? You know? But then by the end, I was like, oh, my God, I stan. You know, I do still have that
fight over the crappies?
Yeah, hell yes. I Julia have Fox? Gay in me. Yeah, I was like, hell yes, Julia Fox. I love you now, girl.
Julia Fox, you were formally invited to the Crappies at the Wiltern Theater in Los Angeles.
She was really funny. She kept staring into the monitors at herself, to the point where, and you could tell she's doing it because she's not looking. She's just like staring at herself and like posing. And Andy's like, Julia, we're here. You don't have to look at yourself in the monitor. She goes, I know, but I'm just like, I look so good. And she's just staring at the monitor. And he's like, no, don't do that. Look, talk to us. And so she refused to. The whole time she either looked in the monitor or straight into the camera. It was hilarious.
Was she wearing, did she have the raccoon eye thing still going on?
Yes. She's, and she said that it's a trend that she started. And like everybody follows her trends. Mm-hmm. And they were like, she told some story about, they're like, what are the best things you've ever gotten on? Or like, what's your best date that you've ever been on? She's like, private plane, like Chanel bags. Like, and he goes, well, with who? And she's like, I can't tell you, but like, obviously it was an A-lister.
It's like, was it Kanye West? Because who else has she dated?
It was so weird and funny. And she didn't seem to like Whitney. And Whitney didn't really seem to know what to do. Very good episode, guys.
I love that energy.
Yeah, it was good. Okay, back to the stupid glasses family. So Meredith has invited Lisa Barlow. And Lisa Barlow got a ticket. And Meredith is very grateful. She's like, well, she's there to get the press from. And of course... The lady's like coming to your mental health thing, okay?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, and you want her to have press from it. So, and Chloe goes, so, and she's like, by the way, if she starts talking to you kids, you sweet little adorable toddlers, don't worry, just say boo boo wah wah and mom will come over and save you. And Chloe's like, yeah, you don't need to come rescue your garbage whore daughter. Brooks's words, not hers.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's she never said that. She said that about your mom only. Okay, she didn't touch the children. So Heather is now at Angie K's, and they do the whole hi. H. Oh, Angie H. Hi. Hi.
Yes. There's a lot of like that sound amongst the people this year. That must be like a Salt Lake City accent thing. The how are you doing today?
Yeah, there is some of that. Like the dentist.
I miss you.
The people who do services there, like the dentists, they kind of put the teeth in too big. And then the face people, they put like maybe a little bit too much filler in. You know, it's like their services are a little behind the times.
My theory is that since a lot of them are Mormons and they're not allowed to smoke, they like to pretend they're smoking, but they don't know how to do it. So they're going quietly because they think that that's part of the smoke. Like,
they're like,
I miss
she's like,
you.
Welcome.
I miss
she's like,
you.
Welcome to my home.
Let me see that eye. I knew to look for it. I knew to look for it.
When did Angie H get a hole in her throat? She's like, would you like to? So let's see.
I can only imagine how unappetizing this is for the listeners. Like, next week on Meatball ER. We need to give this meatball a tracheotomy right now.
Yeah, this show is for people who like pain. So Heather is like, yeah, I'll do a Paloma, okay? Oh my god, Domino, I can't do your crusty puss eye or puss eye because the dog is old, I guess, and it has these big like Michael Darby eyes. They're just like, ooh,
not Darby eyes.
They're like crusting down. You're not really one to talk right now, self abuser.
Well, that's why
making abuse a storyline when it's probably not even one.
Well, that's why she said, now I get why people keep asking about the eye, because it's impossible to turn away. Not that I want to talk about it, although I did just bring it up. I really went out of my way to draw attention to your crazy dog eyes and then my eye. But I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
don't
please let's talk not about talk it. About it. Please let's not. Can I have some eyes in this? I'm sorry, I meant ice. Ice. That
would be great. Would you like a straw? So then Angie had gone to Whitney. Poor Whitney. Poor
literally.
Whitney. Poor, truly, Whitney had a Wild Rose event that Bravo didn't even put on TV. This lady is banking on Wild Rose now. Now that Justin's in Hershey syrup hell, you know, she's the only income, and they're all banking on Wild Rose, and Bravo did not even put it on TV.
Because Bravo likes to drag your ass down. They're losing Jen, so if they're coming back, they need, next season is Whitney, you know, back on the pole or something. It's going to be like, Whitney's poor now. You know, they have to see somebody crying and sobbing every episode.
Yeah. Yeah, Whitney's going to volunteer. I got a new job. I'm an air sock at the airport. I just hang on the pole and just wait, see where the wind blows me.
So Angie is like, well, Auntie Kay told me about the trip, and she said it was wild, just wild. And Heather's like, oh my God, stop looking. It's just a dumb black eye.
Do you have any recollection of what happened to you? I'll be Mariah Carey now. Do you remember? Let's talk about the abuse. And Heather's like, no. All right. Well, there's a part of me, and tell me if I'm wrong, that you're protecting somebody. And the last people who were with you seen at the crime were...
Well, it was Heather's me. Like, it was Angie Kay. Jen. Why did you say Jen last? Why? Because I was coming up with a list. I was coming up with a list. Like,
so Heather's like, so Angie's like, you know what? I told Chris. I told Chris about what happened. He said, he was like, holy shit, did somebody do this to her? And this is out of love and concern. If someone did this to you, it's not okay. Will you ever tell me?
And she's like, no, I won't. And the producer says, is there part of you that hopes that someone else will just say it? And Heather says that she just wants it to go away. And Angie's like, so you're saying that somebody hurt you, you just don't know who. And she's like, hold on, let me look away. And she's like, don't protect them. Don't protect them, Heather. And then Angie goes, well, she tells us, she goes, I don't want to point fingers, but Lisa and Heather have had issues. So now you don't like Lisa Barlow, so now you think Lisa Barlow punched Heather? Come on, you guys. This fucking cast. And she goes, and I've seen Jen's temper, so I just don't know. I just don't know. To be fair, you saw Jen's temper because your husband made up a fake account with her name to go fuck with other people, man.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that you're getting the appropriate guidance and care that you need. And if you ever need it, we are there for you, just like we were there for you to bring you onto a yacht in Norway. Okay, and I am there for you. But if someone did this to you, you do not have to protect them. The people you do have to protect are the people who did not get invited onto the cast trip and now whose careers on Bravo are in jeopardy. Okay, you hear what I'm saying?
And Heather just gives like a forlorn look. She's like, I'm forlorn. So then Whitney is with her kids and they're gathering around looking at picture books. And she's like, this is me at your age. I'm on a merry-go-round at the carnival. Mommy, why are you riding the pole? That's how you do it. What?
There's a child on your head. Yes, because I'm going up and down.
And here I am at the fire station in kindergarten field trip. Well, at least that one makes sense.
Here I am volunteering for Greenpeace. I was in it mainly because they said I'd be a tree hugger, which is sort of like being a natural pole dancer.
Here I am in Australia. This koala tried to take my pole.
So
stupid. I'm sorry, audience. We'll cut that. So they're looking
not a lot of visual pole jokes to make after that.
You know, and she's like, I'm realizing a big part of my journey is letting go of the bad and remembering line. What was it again? Forgetting the bad, getting the remember. So I go down memory lane. It's cathartic.
I thought at first it was we were talking about a girl named Kathy who lived in the Arctic. Turns out it's a word, cathartic. So I met Kathy because I went to the South Pole. I think you know why. So now anyway.
I thought they were Catholic aardvarks. So Curtis, this cheese ball calls. I don't trust Curtis for a damn second. Okay, now this show's storyline is going to be people screwing you over online. Curtis is definitely a scam likely. I'm sorry. Mm. That guy gives off total scammer vibes.
Yeah. So she's showing him photos on FaceTime and she's like, do you remember this girl? I don't remember. It's little Molly Mormon. And yeah. So she's showing him all these photos of childhood and everything. And she's like, how did you get past always dwelling on the past? And he's like, says, oh, well, he goes, I've always identified with the future. My pronouns are will and to be. So, you know, because that's where I'm headed and I can do something about that. I can't do anything about yesterday, but even though you're getting in touch with your feelings from the past, well, he just goes on and on about like, move forward. You can't do anything about the past. The past is in the past. Embrace the future. There's new friends to be had, new relationships to be had,
etc. He's giving her this come to Jesus talk. He's like, yeah, you know, you just need to look towards the future because you know who's out there? People you haven't even met yet. And then she gets a cameo notification and she's like, yeah, sorry. And he goes, I'm like, you know what I'm like? I'm like, I'm going to pour into people who pour into me. That just sounds like a disgusting, messy kitchen to me.
So how much chocolate syrup does that involve?
I don't want Justin to get fired again. So she's like, when you choose to work on yourself and grow, it's interesting to see what happens to the people around you. They either grow with you or they get black eyes. I feel like that is what's going on with Heather and I. I hope at some point our paths come back together.
Yeah. And so I think this was supposed to be like the button on her whole storyline about the past, right? She just like realizes she just has to move on. So then we have Jen's on her laptop with her therapist, Ernest.
Just in case you guys don't remember that Jen is really a victim in this and a hero in a way, there's a giant painting of Martin Luther King that she films right in front of for this scene. I mean, Jen, you are just fucking shameless. My God. So then she talks to Ernest, her computer therapist guy. And Ernest is like, so how are you right now? It's like, you know, Meredith's uncle or something. Like, how are you? And she's like, you know, I had a really rough night. I didn't sleep well. Well, I hope not. That's like the first decent thing you said all year.
Yeah. And she starts talking about how, like, she's coming back from San Diego. She's back to reality and that, like, she's inching closer to trial and she's facing uncertainty every day or a lawyer's going to call with new information. And she's just going into a deeper and darker place and the depression and the anxiety, it's paralyzing. And Ernest is like, well, you've been through a lot. And the most important thing is that you get closer to setting up all the support structures. What are you going to need from family and friends when you go to jail? I didn't say I was going to jail. I mean, it's pretty obvious, honey.
Listen, what do you need? She's like, your social security number? Not Jen. Your mother's maiden name? Jen. The first street you grew up on? Jen. I'm worried about my kids. Yeah, you should be. You fucked up. I can't with her. I can't even sit. You do it.
I know. Well, it's always funny to me when people commit crimes and then they get caught and then they're angry at the people who catch them because it's going to affect their kids. Well, another way to not affect your kids is not do the bad shit in the first place.
Yeah, I can't with her. So then she does this whole song and dance about, oh, poor Sharif cries in the parking lot because he's so worried about it. He just needs me. Girl, you got about a year and a half in prison before he divorces your ass. Okay, I'm calling it now. So I can't with her. She's a monster. So next up, Meredith's fashion show. She's like, every fashion show is crazy and intense. Mom, where should I take my jogging suit? Back to the back, Brooksy, stat.
Every fashion show has a lot of moving parts. And in this case, that includes my head on my neck. Just can't stop it, okay? Well, this one's heightened because it means a lot to me and I just want it to be a success. And we have so many people who are donating their services and time and apparently chocolate syrup and a lot of designers here too. Well, quote unquote designers. I'm contractually obligated to say that.
Including Brixing. So it cuts to Brooks backstage, and a male model is wearing one of his like Walmart jumpsuit with like a NASA logo ironed to it.
I noticed that. It looked like NASA logos to me. It looked like the NASA thing on the Target shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like one of those iron-on things your mom did for you, you know, when you were a kid. She's like, you're a spaceman now. Go out there and you tell those bullies, beam me up. So Brooks is like, I think it looks fire.
Yeah. Well, it takes a village, but we're here, and I couldn't be more proud. And hold on. This is in from Seth. Seth says, make sure you say it takes a village of Whitney's breasts.
Seth. He's such a charmer. So then Myra comes in. She's like, man, Myra, I think it looks great. Well, I think it looks great here too, Myra. It looks amazing. Myra, it looks great.
And then Dana and Angie K show up. And so Meredith's like, okay, friends of, come over here. All right, well, welcome to the show. I haven't really had a time to formally introduce myself all season. But anyway, you guys are new and you're not full-fledged cast members. So let me just say this. I'm not mad, okay? But it was a lot, okay? It was a lot for everybody. And I'll be totally blunt with the two of you non-cast members. I'm not angry, but I was a little disappointed, not mad. But I was a little mad. Not mad, though.
You told Lisa what I was saying. I mean, we had a conversation. We were going to bring it up at the dinner. She's basically telling these amateurs, listen, I was giving you the information for the big dinner confrontation. You don't go blow the dinner confrontation during the getting ready montage. Like, yeah. That's why you hear the music. Has to put our lipstick on. It's not to go tell my secrets, okay? If you're going to be part of a gang up, learn how to gang up. Am I right, Myra? You gotta know how to be part of this gang, girls.
Well, in hindsight, I wish I had said that I did not want to be involved in any of this. I feel terrible for my part in it. And Myra's, well, I'm not mad, Angie K. That is your name, right? I never got your name the entire season. I'm moving on. But, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not mad. And then conclusion, I just want to add, I'm not mad. Actually, reverse conclusion, because now it's time for you, Dana. It's your turn, Dana, on the hot seat.
Oh, my God. They have, like, an I'm not mad counter that keeps popping up. It's like, I'm not mad. Ding! I'm not mad. Ding! I'm not mad. Ding! And so Angie's like, well, I think it speaks volumes about me that I didn't want to be involved in that conversation. What does that mean? Does Angie K ever make a sentence that makes sense? Because I never get what she's fucking talking about.
You don't get like points for wanting to not be part of the conversation, but still participating in it anyway.
Yeah, I get points for all of those calories I didn't really want to eat this morning. No, that's not how that works. So Meredith is like, okay, don't know what you just said, but it's noted. Okay, none of us should ever speak negatively about each other. I got it, but I'm not mad.
These are irritations. This is like my toe on Seth's taint of minor irritation. And we voice them and we move on. And that to me is not speaking negative or anything. It's just me discussing in public, you know, a public document that the SEC filed. That was very easy to just go to that website and navigate a government bureaucracy website, very simple to do. Pay a little bit of money to get through a paywall, order the documents and make sure it comes to you, do some more bureaucracy, just simple public document stuff. I'm really not being negative
at all. It wasn't being negative. I mean, to pay for it, I used PayPal. Nothing says not negative than the word PAL. And she's like, I mean, it just felt like a little bit of a slap in the face, but I'm not mad. Ding. So Angie K's like, actually, you seem mad, Meredith.
Well, see, this is why you're not a full-fledged cast member.
Yeah, these auditions have lasted way too long. This chorus line has gone on for 7 hours, okay? You're no cast, okay? Move on.
So
to all the Chorus Line fans out there,
I was like, I know that was a reference that I don't get.
The music and the mirror and the chance to dance for you.
Dun, 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 dun. I do know that song. Don played that the other night, actually. So, of course he did.
God, I would love a camera in your house. I love that Dom just like one night, it's like Tuesday. He's like, you know what I'm going to listen to? The chance to dance for you. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. It literally is what happens. I was cooking. I was just like making something, and all of a sudden it's like dun 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 dun, and I like looked up, and he's like smiling. So he knows cute. To put it on. He knows to put it on before, because if it waits too long, I'm gonna put on Carly Rae Jepsen. So
that's funny.
But hey, I'm down for the show tunes. So Jen and Sharif show up, and then Lisa shows up, and she's like, "Let's be honest. Meredith doesn't like me. Hi, pretty girls. Hi."
Oh, and Jen and Sharif come with Morello or whatever that guy is who stole the bag out of Meredith's shop.
Oh, I didn't even notice
what
that.
What the hell? Yeah, he's the one wearing those big fake flowers all over his jacket.
Oh, I thought that was just a centerpiece that was walking.
He's there to be the purse carrier, which is ironic. So Chloe's like, Jen, you're channeling my mom with the feathers. Fuck off, Chloe, okay? Your mother didn't invent feathers. Why am I standing up for Jen? This keeps
you're just in a state.
Backing me. Yeah.
You're not mad. You're not mad.
I'm not mad. So yeah, Lisa's like, let's be honest, she doesn't like me. But I definitely wanted to support from Meredith because her sister and her nephew have gone through a lot. And I want to let them know that this is important because it's about mental health awareness. And it starts with kindness.
So Meredith is like, well, I'm not surprised that Lisa showed up. She's very concerned with appearances, and I don't think it would be a good look for her to miss my charity event. So there's like a lot of fake moments, whatever, you know, and Meredith's like, yeah, it gives her a chance to take pose for social media. And then she does like she mocks Lisa doing duck lips. As if Meredith and everyone else in this cast does not do that on every single photo they post on social media.
I know, but Meredith looks 3 years old in hers. I mean, that girl's true. Got Facetune comments more on her post than anybody I've ever seen on there. They crack up at every post she puts on there. So Jen and Sharif, but also she did a very good impersonation of it, because then they showed Lisa actually using it on social media, doing the exact same pose.
Yeah.
So good. So then we see Jen and Sharif, and Jen's like, I saw Angie and Sean are here. Do you have to check? I just want to get it over with. And he's like, yeah, we should do that. So they go, because Jen tells us that she asked for an invoice, and we see the text. Oh my gosh. I have a screenshot of the invoice. Say something while I look for it.
All right. Well, let me tell you something. All right. Well, last time I got an invoice was from Costco, because apparently I bought so many white beans that they had to actually get a new SKU of them from a new distributor. And they said, this is costing our operation a lot of money. So they sent it to me, and I said, this is for my toddler. He lives and breathes for my white bean salad.
Nailed
it. It's very important to feed them.
Nailed it. Okay, so first, here's the text. It's between Angie K and Jen, obviously. And it says, Jen Shaw knew. So I guess this is her new number. It says, Happy Valentine's Day to my Greek goddess heart. Oh, Ofa Atu, XOXO. And then Angie says, oh my God, heart, 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 heart. Love us. Heart, 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 heart. Happy V-Day. Heart, 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 exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. And then Jen says, I'm going to post that. And she says, you toileting have to. It's an emoji. I think it's a toilet. You have to. Tag me. I swear there's 11 exclamation points here. And then a laughy face. And then Jen says, also, I need to pay you for the party stuff. Kissy face. So that was the text. So then they show the invoice. Orchid Dynasty, $1,281. Bartender, $3,600. Which, how many bartenders were there? I'm in the wrong profession. That's a lot. Cake, $568. Diamond rental, $2,662. Millennium Dance, $600. This is the poor dancer. Piano, $754. Common Sense Card Dealers, $981.44. Catering, $2,400. Cleaning, $400. Additional assistance, $400. Okay, here's what I'll tell you. If you are in cleaning or additional assistance, you're fucked. Okay? You know what you need to start standing up for? Diamond rental and bartending. Okay? That's what I learned from this. Also, if someone sent me this invoice, I would say, no, I'm not paying $3,600 for bartending. Fuck that. Hand me some shot glasses. I'll do it.
Yeah. It's a lot of money for bartenders. I don't know how much bartenders cost, but $3,600, does that include like maybe all the booze or something like that?
It only says bartenders, but I don't know. So that total came out to around 14 grand. So Angie's like, okay, Lisa, I should probably have you sit down because I have something really devastating to share with you. Like, I'm still in shock, okay? Angie showed up and she said that Jen had reached out on FaceTime. And then we see a clip of Angie going, she called me earlier today and she wants to make peace with me. And Angie's like, great, peace. But you know what? If I'm going to stand up for somebody and then they're going to go back and they're going to do that, if that's what's going to happen. Like, you're mad that people are trying to make up? This show's nuts.
Yeah, I actually kind of get it because she's not mad that they're trying to make up, but she's mad that, like, you came at me so hard about, like, you know, being friends with Angie or whatever, and then you are like, you go back and be friends with her, but like, you were, I could understand that frustration. It's like,
yeah, but Angie was one of the ones saying you should make up, like, you guys need to calm down, fix this, and work through this. Like, they all say,
well, I think it's, but it's also that she, well, that Jen just like roasted Heather for the Angie situation, like really, really roasted Heather. And then all of a sudden is like, okay, cool. Let's be friends, Angie. And it's just kind of like that. She just can go so hard at someone and then all of a sudden change her tune. So like when she's asking for you to make a choice between Angie and Jen, and then like maybe someone does make that choice, maybe someone does burn some bridges and hurts friendships, and then Jen just doesn't care. She's like, oh, you know what, I decided I want to make friends with them. And it's like that total that inconsistency where other people, there could be just like shrapnel from it, but Jen doesn't care. So I mean, look, I'm not mad, and I'm definitely not standing up for Angie K too hard on this, but I'm like, I can sort of see why it'd be really like frustrating to have to deal with this all the time. She had to sit through a whole meal of Jen going nuts, consoling Jen, doing all this thing for Jen just to be like, oh, actually, I want to be friends with her.
But that's like literally every friendship on this show. But yeah, but it's just, I think,
well, you know, it's like, you know, it's like when Angie,
I get what you're saying. But
when a friend breaks up with someone and you sit there on the phone and you listen to them cry, yeah, and moan, and you listen, yeah, and they want all this advice and they demand all this energy out of you, and then the next day they get back together with them and you're like, well, why did you even need me for this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been there many, many times. Yeah. And I've been that person on the other end of the line, too. Maybe that's why I'm standing up for it.
I did just get your email about starting up a new website.
So, Angie K, a tribute to Audrey Hepburn. So, Angie K is like, I am stunned. This is the woman who pushed her to the brink of taking her own life. I lost sleep over that. I lost sleep. Okay, Angie K, calm the fuck down. Okay? You're the one who was just so offended and then the next day acted like nothing had ever happened with Jen. So shut up.
Yeah.
So Dana's like, okay, sorry, but I called this shit from day one. She's not a good person. She's not a good friend. So Lisa says, yeah, you know what? The least inconsistent person on, you know, home cooked meals are more consistent than her. Okay? You know, Jen is not consistent. And then when you look at the big picture, it's like, I'm believing you saying you're innocent, even though you're constantly lying to me in a friendship. So, like, why would I believe you're not doing that in, like, other aspects of your life, like your work life? Well, congratulations. You're finally realizing that Jen might be guilty. Really?
Yeah. God.
Because she wanted to make up with Angie. That's what led you to this. You had every other clue in the book.
No, Ronnie, there was barely any evidence whatsoever. It's not like there was like a Hulu special about it. So, so Angie said that she did get a text from Jen about an invite to a party. And Dana's like, oh, is that because she's different around her husband? I was like, okay, Dana. So, and Angie's like, well, there's two different people, you know, it's like two personalities. Well, if there's two different personalities, that's scary. That's dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she's not consistent. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. She's not consistent. Yeah. She's not consistent. She needs to be consistent. Because if she's not consistent, what is that? She's not consistent. So it's dangerous. It's like, ooh, say consistent again.
So Angie K, who's just fed up with Jen being inconsistent, roller coaster friendship, toxic, etc. They all sit down at this. They sit down for the fashion show. Angie's on one side of the runway. Jen Shaw's on the other side of the runway. There's a check in Coach Shaw's blazer. The tension is higher than it's ever been. And then Angie just like walks across the runway and is like, hey guys, sorry, let's bring it in. Good to see you guys. Good to see you. Good to see you.
The biggest faker. The biggest faker in this group, which is saying a lot. So they have some poor lady come out and go, hello, I would like to introduce Meredith. And that's all. Meredith is like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Naomi Progresso.
Who's Naomi Progresso?
Let's play on Naomi Campbell's suit. So she's just the Salt Lake City's version of Naomi Campbell is Naomi Progresso.
That is so stupid. I was like, I'll just wait for him to continue.
No,
I don't need to ask who that is, but you didn't continue. I was like, damn it, now I have to pretend.
I was like, he's going to ask. He's going to ask. He needs to ask, because otherwise everyone else is confused. Well, we have Utah's biggest supermodel, Naomi Progresso, here to introduce this show. Naomi, hit it. Welcome to the show. Great work, my man.
Great job, Clam Chowder. Move to the side now. All right, everyone. Thank you for supporting this cause, because this is important to me. And it needs to be as important to every person in America. Mental health. So she talks about, you know, her her nephew.
Nephew.
And, you know, then we see a design show, a fashion show, or whatever. Brooks's stuff.
Brooks
I'm
Marks.
Sorry, okay? I'm sorry. Those are Alibaba sweatsuits with fucking ribbon taped to them. No one can tell me different. And now he's added an oversized blazer that's emblazoned in Brooks Marks. I can't.
Yeah, with a little stripe that goes across, etc. And then just like, I need that one, 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 I need that one. I was like, she's just counting the singles at the bar, right? I need that one, I need that single, I need that single. So Brooke's like, I got you. So they're all very happy and proud. Meredith is like, well, I'm at least this time, we can give Jen more than just one tracksuit.
I know, Jen, I don't know that you really need to be asking for free jumpsuits. You're about to get a really big one, you know.
You're so gonna have sort of a single look wardrobe soon, yeah.
So Jen and Sharif go pull Angie and her husband aside, and they're talking about how great the show was and stuff. And wait, is this a part? Okay, yes. So then Sharif does it. Sharif comes off as very phony to me here. He's like, now look, I know you're about to get going, so listen, I just wanted to make sure that I took care of you guys, because it really bothered my heart that the situation happened the way it did. So please, here, take this. Why don't you just publish a fucking publisher's clearinghouse check? This is money that you guys owe. Stop acting like you're doing some huge fucking favor out of the goodness of your heart. And you're such a good person because they're such rotten assholes for pointing out that you've had yet another party that you don't want to pay for.
I know. That's actually really bothered me too, because I hate that thing where Jen and Sharif did not pay or did not even offer to pay. And then they do this in this way where, like, Angie and her husband are like dicks for asking for money when it's like totally entitled. And I have to say, it was also very funny to me because Angie's trying to give an energy of like, guys, don't even worry about it. Cause she's like, guys, less about the paper than I have a lot of respect for both of you. And like, I love both of you guys and I love your family. And I was hurt by some things. And she's sort of like giving like, listen, water under the bridge, but they still take that check. They're like, thank you. We'll still take it, though.
But then she goes, I was hurt by some things. And he goes, we were too, badly, badly. And it hurt me to feel like we had a debt. You didn't feel like you had a debt. You fucking had a debt. And you don't have the right to say how much you're hurting right now. Neither one of you. How dare you? You know, even if you had nothing to do with Jen Shaw's crimes, to sit here and act like you're a victim in all of this, when you know what she did, shame on you. And I normally really like him, but he didn't pull this scene off very well.
Yeah, I just didn't like that Angie and Chris were made to look like they were the dicks. Although, I mean,
they are dicks.
Well, the thing is this. What we don't know is we're taking Angie's word for it that she never said, listen, we got this. We know you're going through a hard time. We've covered this. It is actually possible that she said that, or she may have spoken in a way that
well, suggested Jen doesn't it. Even claim. Jen doesn't even claim that she said that.
She doesn't? Well, in that case, yeah.
She just assumed that she didn't have to pay.
Yeah.
And so
she did.
He's like, yeah, it hurt me to feel that we had a debt. And I didn't understand that to be the case. And I want to rectify that, which I thought was funny that he used the word rectify, because that's that show about that guy who's in prison. So then Jen's like, it's not about the money. It was never about the money. I mean, hell, I got out cheap, okay? I hope Coach doesn't find out I spent $80,000 on party for Meredith and $13,000 for him. And Angie K is like, all I know is I'm going to run to the bank after this event and cash this check before the government freezes her account.
Yeah, better hurry.
Another, completely loyal moment from Angie. Another consistent moment from Angie, I guess we should say.
I think they're all just like, we'll be nice to Jen now because she's going to be gone for 30 years or two or seven. So now Whitney at home. So Heather arrives and Heather's like, oh, I didn't know if I should ring the doorbell or if I should walk in, because it felt like I couldn't just walk in, but ringing the doorbell felt so formal. So I don't know. I mean, this whole thing is like, it's like a black eye on our friendship. I don't want to talk about it. Please let's not bring it up.
About it. Yeah, please. So she's like, it's Bobby's birthday, right? So I brought her a present and some wine. And Whitney's like, wow, thank you. And she takes the wine. She's like, no, that's for Bobby. The xylophone is for you. So Bobby comes down and she gives her the present. And now we have a long standoff with giving soap opera looks to each other. Like, who's going to talk first? Heather doing this with her eye, like to highlight it. Whitney just looking stupidly at whatever flies flying around the kitchen. And then finally, Whitney tells us, Heather and I were really, really close. We talked every day. We were involved in each other's lives at such an intimate level. It sucks not knowing what's going on in your friend's life. And a couple of months ago, I would know what happened to her eye. And it makes me sad. She doesn't feel she can tell me.
Yeah, let's go to the fire pit. So they go outside and she goes, I've been really, really, really worried about you, especially since the trip. And Heather goes, really? I had no idea you even cared. And Whitney goes, well, just because I might be upset with you or in a weird place, like a literal weird place. Have you seen this neighborhood? It's a little weird. I never stopped caring about you.
Well, that's what's weird, because I never felt you didn't care. But then finding out that we're on a friendship break, that just stabbed me in the heart. It stabbed me. And Whitney's like, it's not a dig. I just need to process this weirdness. Like, I feel like I have to chase you down. And she's like, there's no chasing me down. You don't know anything going on in my life. You don't even know how I got my black eye. You don't even know I had a choir for 2 days.
Well, do you really not remember about your black eye? Because you said, I don't remember. You said, I don't want to talk about it. You said, I've been assaulted. Yeah, I say assaulted. That's how I say it. And you said, if someone knocks on your door at 4 a.m., don't answer the door because you might get assaulted. Why are you laughing?
Oh, it's just funny to me and true and part of the mystery of the eye. That's part of the mystery of the eye, right? No. Whitney rightly says that it's been insane watching Heather create this world of confusion over a black eye. So she asks her straight up, she's like, did somebody do it to you? And there's a really long pause. And Heather goes, I don't think that's even the conversation you and I should be having right now, because it's unimportant.
I'm concerned. I know the amount of pressure on you. You're writing a book. You're a single mom. You have a business. You have a lot on your plate. But you're also healing from the church, and I know what that drama is, and I don't know if it's you don't remember because maybe you were drinking, and you and Jen were having the best time ever, and extremely intoxicated with your tops off because you were drinking wasted, drinking problem, alcoholic, putting your boobs on people because alcoholism.
Yeah, you were extremely intoxicated, running around topless, putting your boobs on people. I said, is this another one of Justin's office parties? But then I remembered, Justin is on an employment journey. And Heather's like, Jen's boob did it. It's just a force of nature. Who cares? And Whitney's like, why? Why won't you tell me? Did you black out like an alcoholic with that Joseph Smith in your life in the outer darkness or what? And Heather's
Yeah, she's like, I remember how I got it. And, you know, other people know how I got it.
So how come those other people, wait a minute, I just thought of something. Other people know that you got it, but I don't know that you got it.
Well, because I'm on a friendship break, Whitney. You gave me the perfect excuse to hang this over your head. And Whitney's like, but why didn't you tell me? Because I was on a friendship break. And Heather goes, I don't know if I would tell you anything because the trust has been broken. It's been broken, Whitney.
Oh, God.
Like, by the way, this is all bullshit. I'm sorry.
I've been such a horrible friend to you. I'm sorry. I'm such a horrible mother. I'm sorry. I failed you as my child. Go be free. Find a new mother. Go to the mall and go to the mother store and ask for a new mother. I'm like, oh my God, is it Mother's Day? What the hell?
This is ridiculous. I'm sorry. Okay, because like I've been on Heather's side with this whole thing with Whitney because Whitney was trying to brew something up. She's trying to get Heather to co-sign the Jizz for Jazz rumors. And Heather was like, I just don't remember it. I would tell you if I remember, but I just don't remember. And Whitney got mad that she wouldn't co-sign. And that's what started this whole thing. And she tied it to her childhood trauma, et cetera. But so like I'm on Heather's side. And yet in a situation like this, when she says, oh, well, there's a friendship break. And I don't know if we could ever be friends again or whatever. Like, you let Jen Shah treat you so badly.
Exactly.
So badly. And you go back to her time and time again. And Whitney actually is having a relatively chill thing of saying, I needed to take some time away from our friendship to like regroup. It's like, it's not nice to hear, but it's also a pretty mature way to approach something.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, Whitney, this whole friendship break has been really shitty for me, and I think you don't care because you think you can just break it, and then when you're ready, you can come pick it up, and I'm going to be funny and fight battles as a team, but that's not how it works. When you break something that wasn't broken, it's never the same again. Look at all of our noses. Literally all of them. Okay? And I think she's right here because she says, I think Whitney wanted to start drama where there was none and curry favor with the other friends in the group. So yes. She put me on the altar. Now, this is where she loses me. She didn't put you on the altar and sacrifice you, you know? I mean, I can see what she's saying, but she's like, she's not going to get off that easy.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's just not fair. I don't think it's fair that she's saying she's doing this whole thing of like, oh, it's broken. It can't be put back together again. You've sacrificed me, whatever. I'm like, Jen has treated you like a piece of garbage all this time. Like all this time. Maybe the stakes are higher with Whitney. Maybe she felt she had a more genuine relationship with Whitney. So she thought this would never happen. But with Jen, she knows it's all fake anyway. So she doesn't care. I don't know. But she didn't say that.
Well, she only respects the kind of abuser types in the group, right?
Yeah.
It's like someone like Jen is so mean about their, it's like she's going to abuse you basically emotionally, or you're going to do what she wants and be her friend. And it's like, that's who she goes to. Even though she hates Lisa Barlow, she's always trying to be nice and get friendly with Lisa Barlow. You know,
yeah.
The reason she hates Lisa Barlow is because Lisa Barlow was an alpha kind of woman who rejected her in the beginning and called her a good time girl and all that.
Yeah.
So I think it's naive to assume it would be the way it was. So I'm going to go hang out with the chick who called me Shrek and accused me of being racist multiple times on social media. Bye.
Yeah. And so Heather's like, I feel very sad that bad weather has been such a dark cloud over your head. Be free, young Whitney. I will not hold you back any longer. Live your best life. She goes, but I want bad weather back. I think we're stronger together. Well, I think that's taking me for granted, assuming it would come back as it would. That's what it was.
And she's like, let's just give each other, let's just love each other, but give each other space. Which, and Whitney's like, just giving a dumb nod, like kind of looking off into the space. Like,
if Whitney were sharper, she would have realized loving each other, but giving each other space is exactly what I meant by friendship break.
And exactly. Exactly. That's what, but however you need to get to that space, you know, I guess you got there eventually, right? So yeah. Next time on the season finale of Black Eyes Choir's Memories that May or May Not Even Be There, Salt Lake City.
I know, much shorter season. Last season, I looked it up, had, I think, 21 episodes before the reunion, and now I think we just finished episode 13, so significantly shorter.
What a weird season. What the hell are they even talking about on this season? Now, that said, I still love it.
Yeah, I think it's still great, but it's like just sort of has like no clear through line. I really do. My theory, I still feel like fans, which is that they had started the season and they had started with Jenny. All the Jenny stuff came out and they probably had to start the season over, but there were already a certain number of weeks into production. And I think it was just sort of like a weird wobbly season. And, but I still, it's so fun. I still love it.
Yeah. Sorry, funny Lamb. Show. It's one of the silliest shows on the channel. I'm not saying something. So everybody, thank you so much for being with us, especially on Crepins on Demand. Love you. Come back to see how my face heals next week. In the meantime, go get your tickets for Watch What Crappens Live, the Cheetah Brand Tour, starting this February through the spring. Come find your tickets at Watch. Hey, happy 4:20 p.m. Yes, smoke one. Also, go to patreon.com/Watch What Crappens for all of this good stuff. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.